So there's a plethora of choices, of exciting topics and subjects in the parsha this week. So what do I pick? And as you know, my style is to pick one. So the pasuk which I'm zeroing in on this week is a familiar mitzvah, and it's a common mitzvah, but I guess I just discovered a little bit more meaning to it, and more spiritual meaning to it. And that is the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, of returning lost articles. Hashavas Aveda, returning lost articles. So it's a very practical subject about if you find something, you know, it doesn't need much explanation. If you find a lost article, you have to return it. If it has simonim, if it has indicating signs of who the true owner is, if there's no signs on it, there's a complex set of laws regarding this. Just generally speaking, though, an article that is lost and you can assume what's called yish, despair, on the part of the owner, there's no obligation to return it, right? So finders, keepers, losers, weepers does apply, and it doesn't apply. It applies after yish, after despair. There's a very interesting example the Gemara gives, and it relates to the pasuk in the parasha, because if you look at the pasuk, it says, "Kein tasa lechamor," you have to return the lost article, the donkey of your friend, and his garment. "V'chein tasa," and so you should lechol aveda sechicha, regarding every lost article of your brother, "asha tovad b'menu," that is lost from him, "umetzasa," and you find it. So the Gemara expounds this: it's lost from you, and your friend finds it. So that phrase puts a condition on the actual obligation to return a lost article. It has to be lost and found. It has to be lost and able to be found. And the Gemara says, an article that is lost and not able to be found, it's washed away in the sea, there's no obligation to return it if it does become found. In other words, the only articles that have to be returned are articles which are normally lost and found, could be found in the street, could be found in someone's house somewhere. But if it's lost from the world completely, it's lost from him and lost from the world, it's not findable, right? Then, you know, in a wild situation that the article is found, where it really shouldn't be found because it's been lost and washed away forever, and happens to be, it was found afterwards, he doesn't have to return it. So the case in point, let's say you drop your wallet in Niagara Falls. We had a CLE seminar on this many years ago. You dropped your wallet in Niagara Falls. Then what's the chances of finding it? Impossible. You've despaired on getting it back, right? And even if a person is crazy and says, "Oh, I wish I could have it. I wish I could find it. So the Gemara says, the owner's intention or hope that he's going to find it means nothing, because it's lost. It's lost forever. It's gone forever. That's never going to be found. So the fact that the owner is still kind of hoping and pining he's going to be able to get his wallet back makes no difference. So lu yitzuya, which means if, in a hypothetical, far-fetched scenario, it does end up getting washed on the banks of the river and someone finds it, the finder is allowed to keep it. Because even though the owner displayed the sentiment that he hasn't despaired, it's ridiculous. The Torah imposes upon him despair because it's lost from the world completely. It was washed away, and the finder is allowed to keep it. So these are very. I just want to mention that interesting halacha. But the principle is despair. Despair. There's genuine despair, or it's so ridiculous to be able to find it, it's considered as though the person's despaired on getting it, and then the finder can keep it. But otherwise, you have to return a lost article. So this is particularly close to home for me. There's one of my most important svarim, right? One of my most important svarim, which I have, is Derech Hashem. I have a few copies of it. And I've taught Derech Hashem for years and years and years. I've given the series, you know, over and over again. And the one sefer which I've used over and again for years is a sefer in English. And I've had it for maybe 30 years. And I began learning it again a few months ago, and I couldn't find it. And I'm still looking high and low for this. It has all my notes in it, and it's something which I know, I have a visual kind of image of the pages, so I remember where things are, and I couldn't find it. And I'm so upset. I'm telling you, I'm so upset. Every time I learn with this person, I have to use a different copy, and I start looking around on my shelves. Maybe it's over there, maybe it's over here. I've lost it, right? I've lost it. So this morning, I saw I was reminded of a particular prayer we're supposed to say. So afterwards, later today, I'm going to say this prayer. And it's a prayer we're supposed to say on trying to find lost articles. If you've lost something, then you say a prayer. It's called Eloka Demeya Ya'aneini. The God of Meir should answer me. May the Almighty, may the God of Meir answer me. It's a reference to Reb Meir of the Gemara, famous sage Reb Meir. And he lived during the Roman persecutions. And his sister-in-law was taken by the Romans. The brother-in-laws were teaching Torah. His brother was teaching Torah. So his sister-in-law was captured, and she was captured by the Romans. And he was determined to get her out. And he went to the prison, and he bribed the warden. And he said to the warden, "I'll pay you money to release my sister-in-law." And the warden was terrified. He says, "I'm not going to do that, because if I get caught doing that, I'm going to have my life taken." Because, you know, so Reb Meir said, "Listen, don't worry about it. All you have to do is, if you're ever in any trouble, just say Eloka Demeya Ya'aneini." Now I say Eloka. Eloka is a permutation of the word God. I'm just not pronouncing the hey of God's name, but it's really Elokim, like Elokim, like we see, we replace the hey with a kuf. So he says, just say Eloka Demeya. May the God of Meir save me, you'll be fine. And he didn't trust him. He said, "I'll show you." And there were dogs in the prison. And he threw a stone, Reb Meir threw a stone towards one of the dogs, this vicious dog. And the vicious dog came running, growling towards him. And he yelled out, "Eloka Demeya Ya'aneini, may a God of Meir save me." And the dogs just stopped in their tracks and ran back. So the warden realized that he would be safe. So he took the money, he took the bribe, and he released the sister-in-law. So lo and behold, so he was found out by his superiors, and he was arrested, and he was sentenced to death for allowing this woman to be released from jail. So as he was being taken to the gallows to be executed, he just yelled out, "Eloka Demeya Ya'aneini, may the God of Meir save me." And then all of a sudden, the executioner stopped in his tracks, didn't kill him. What was that about? And they started a whole conversation. He got away. And then they started looking for this Reb Meir, for Reb Meir to capture him. But this is the story. So the point is that this became like a segula, like a custom, that whenever a person's in trouble or at threat of losing something, in these cases where they were losing their lives, potentially losing their lives, so then it was a special prayer. So it became a prayer. And there's a website actually called, I forget what the website is called, I saw it this morning. But people do this. They give tzedakah. There's a tzedakah called the tzedakah of Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes, Rabbi Meir, the master of miracles, based upon this story in Gemara Avodah Zarah. So I'm going to do this. So it's customary to do this. So when you lose something, you put money in tzedakah and you say this prayer, Eloka Demeya Ya'aneini, and then hopefully my Derech Hashem safe is going to come back. So I'm going to do that later on, Bli Neda, and I'll let you know next week what happens. It doesn't guarantee when it's going to happen, but it's, you know, but hopefully sooner than later. Unless someone has it. I don't know, I was going to ask, you know, because I gave the class on Sunday mornings last year in Elkins Park. So I'm wondering, perhaps maybe someone by accident took it home with them. So anyway, if anyone was there for Derech Hashem in Elkins Park, you know, last year, and has an extra copy of the book on their shelf, please let me know, because I'm looking for it, as you now know. Anyway, so this is the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, returning lost articles. So the Gemara says also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it also applies, doesn't just apply to monetary objects, to mammon, to possessions, but the Gemara says that Aveda's Gufa Minayin, also the lost article of one's body, also, meaning to say, if there's some type of threat of danger, of even damage, injury, or personal injury, that's also part of Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost article. So a lost article can be my possessions, it can be my physical well-being, my body, certainly saving a life. Saving a life is under a different principle, or a different pasuk, but any type of self-preservation of another person, you see someone's in danger, and they're a threat in some way or other, so then the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is to restore that person back to their well-being. So that's that. But then, obviously, if we're talking about returning a person's money, a person's possessions, a person's physical well-being, it certainly goes without saying that if a person's spiritual well-being is also being threatened, it's also described by many, many commentaries that it's also a mitzvah of a hashavas aveda, of returning a lost article, because your neshama is a lost article. His neshama, her neshama, is a lost article. We don't typically look at it that way. But everyone's neshama that has strayed away, to any degree whatsoever, we, all of us, have a responsibility to look at another person's neshama as a lost soul, as a lost soul. And it doesn't have to be, again, necessarily the person has gone off radically to all sorts of bad places. But any type of deviation, whenever you see someone doing something which is not really so right and proper, then that, and that, at that time, that's a lost soul. Now, how you do it, the practical way to tell a person and to help a person to come back on the right track, different discussion. You've got to be smart about it. You've got to be strategic about it. You can't push them way further. But to at least realize that somebody who has strayed away in any way whatsoever, to any degree, is going through a state of a lost soul. And my obligation is to return the person back. And all the commentaries talk about this. They say that the paragraph before this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Sheni, the second layer, begins by saying, Kiya bi'ish chet maves, if a person is guilty of some kind of crime for which he's deserved the death penalty, and the pasuk goes on that the person has to be, and if he has to be hung, that's the death penalty. He's hung on a gallows, but then he's taken down, etc. It goes through that, but the beginning of the passage says he's guilty of the death penalty. Why is he guilty of the death penalty? Why is a person guilty of the death penalty? Because he did something wrong. And that's juxtaposed to Hashavas Aveda, indicating, alluding to the idea, the reason why he did this thing wrong is because he didn't have the proper instruction in his life. He wasn't led in the right direction. And maybe that was our responsibility, the community, the family, etc., that we didn't lead this person the right way. We didn't stop the person from drifting away. And that's what led him to his chet moves, to his being liable to the death penalty. That's the juxtaposition. Also, in general, the Pasuk says, also in the passage over here, it says, Pasuk Aleph, as the passage begins, Lo sira eshur achicha, do not see the ox of your brother, or as seyo nidochem, or a sheep drifting away, v'islamtum them and ignore them. So the sheep, and we'll see this later on also, to passing to Hillim, seh, to isi kase ove, that I drifted away like a lost sheep. So the idea, so it's alluding to that on the shamas become like lost sheep, and therefore we have to, and then we're like Hashem's lost flock, and the fact that the pasuk says the ox and the sheep of your brother, there are psukim which describe Hashem as like being an ach, a brother, a sister. It's all an illusion. It's all the sub message of the entire thing is also an allusion to the lost neshama and how we have an obligation to do Hashavas Aveda to return people's neshamas back. So it's a big advertisement, a major advertisement for Kiruv Rechokim, for teaching, for spreading Torah, for Harbatzas Torah, and bringing people back to the fold. And whoever we know in our families, our friends, to feel a sense of responsibility, to feel a sense, like in the same way that if you knew your friend, your neighbor, your relative had lost something of great value, you'd feel a great sense of responsibility to be able to help them to get it back. So what's the most valuable thing in our lives? It's on the Shama. So if a person's the Shama, is at risk of drifting away, got to do what we can to bring the person back. That's the mitzvah, that's the spiritual mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But there's also a negative commandment with this as well, because in addition to the positive commandment, there's also the negative commandment. And in the same passage, Lo Suchal, the very last line of the passage, Lo Suchal Lesalem, you're not allowed to ignore the lost article. Now this is talking about, you know, again, primarily on a monetary level, lost articles, but again, it applies to the person's body, applies to the neshama. But the negative commandment is you're not allowed to ignore lost articles. So there's a positive, you have to return a lost article, and there's a negative, don't ignore a lost article. Don't close your eyes, don't pretend you don't see it. That's what Rashi says. you're walking by an item and, you know, you don't want to bother picking it up and returning to the person, too much bother, so you kind of pretend you don't see it. That's you can't ignore. That's lusucha lehisalim. So it's interesting, actually. There's a shaila I saw in this one of the svarim over here, Yitzchak Zilberstein, and the shaila was presented to him. What would happen if a person was faced with a dilemma of having to save someone's life? And the only way you can save the person's life, he's got a choice of between two things, of either stealing an item, let's say he needs something, he needs, like, I don't know, a screwdriver or something to help to break in, to save a person's life, whatever the case may be. But the two choices are to steal an item to save a person's life, or not to return a lost article who you know who it belongs to in order to save the person. Which prohibition should you sooner violate to save a person's life? Not to steal or not to return a lost article? Well, you could return the lost article because you know who the owner is. Ostensibly, you'd say, you know, I'm sure it's far worse to steal than it is not to return a lost article. He says that in the final analysis, right? But the initial consideration was, he says, really, the truth is, his first answer was that really, it's probably better to steal rather than returning a lost article. Why? Because in stealing, there's only one negative commandment: don't steal. But with returning a lost article, there's a positive commandment and a negative commandment. So therefore, there's more prohibitions involved, or more laws involved with returning lost articles. A proactive commandment: return the lost article, and the negative commandment: don't ignore the lost article. So therefore, he initially says, maybe that's better, maybe to steal something. Again, he changes his mind. He says, better to not to return the lost article and save the person's life with that. But at least in the logic of it, it underscores the idea that the negative commandment involved in this as well. Lusucha lesalem, you're not allowed to ignore it. You can't ignore the lost article. When you look at the language of the pasuk, though, it's very funny. Because lusucha lehisalem, you're not allowed to ignore it, doesn't really say that. Lo suchal, for our grammarians among us, right? The lo suchal, right? Lo suchal, lo tuchal. I shouldn't say it that way. Lo suchal lehisalem. You are not able to ignore it. That's what it says. Literally, you are not able to ignore it. Lo tuchal, lo suchal is yachol, able. You're not able to ignore it. It's a very funny way of expressing it. So what's pshat in that? What's the meaning of that? So a few commentators say, so Rav Pinchas Shimshon Pinchas says that you're not able to ignore it. What does that mean? You can't ignore it. You know why? Because Hashem knows exactly what's going on in your mind. You're trying to avoid it. You're trying to run away from your responsibility, ignore the obligation. You know, you can run away from yourself, but you can't run away from Hashem. Lusucha lesalem is alluding to the idea that Hashem knows exactly what's inside of your heart. So when you try to avoid responsibilities and run away from obligations, you know, you're not able to run away. You think you're running away, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what you're doing. He knows what's inside of your heart. He knows what you're thinking, and he knows you're a faker. He knows that. Lusucha lesalem, you won't be able to run away from God. You can't run away from Hashem. That's how he explains it. Another pshat I saw, Rabbi Abraham Twersky, in his book, he said, "It's you can't run away from your own conscience, right? You can't run away. You're not Hashem, but you can't run away from your own conscience. Your own conscience will tell you that you're doing something wrong. Losucha lesalem, you're not able to run away because your own guilt feelings will knock at your door and remind you that you're trying to kind of avoid yourself. And that's something which is just generally true. Guilt. You know, feeling guilty over mistakes, feeling guilty over averas, it's not so bad, right? Guilt is not always, is not viewed as such a positive term in the world at large. But if it's guilt over mistakes, if I've made a genuine mistake and I feel guilty over it, that's okay. Because the guilt motivates a person to do teshuva. That's what, how else will you do teshuva unless I feel guilty about it? Guilt which is not founded, which is not based upon anything, that's unhealthy. But if your conscience knocks at your door, it's a good thing. So that's losucha lesalem. You can't run away from this responsibility. There's an interesting question which I saw. Rav Shimon Schwab raises this question. He says that while we're talking over here about not ignoring a lost article, not running away from Hashem, because Hashem knows and we know, our conscience knows and everything, and you can't run away and you have to face your responsibility. So he says, how come then do we say in our davening, Al tisale metuchinoseinu, do not ignore our supplications. It's the same word. The word his tisaleim is to ignore, like you're turning away. So we say to Hashem, please Hashem, do not ignore. Lo tisaleim metuchinoseinu, do not ignore, don't hide away from our supplications. It's the exact same language. Or chusana ve'al tisaleim, have mercy upon us. That's in Yedid Nefesh. Chusana ve'al tisaleim, have mercy and compassion upon us. Do not ignore it. Don't turn your face away from us. It's the exact same language over here in the Pasuk of Lo tisaleim. Don't hide your face. Don't ignore you. Don't turn away from what you see before you. And we're saying to Hashem, please don't do the same thing. So the question is, aren't we supposed to emulate Hashem? Everything we do is like Hashem. So why is Hashem doing something which we shouldn't do ourselves? He's hiding his face away from us. He's telling that we shouldn't turn our face and hide our face away from other people and the responsibilities and the needs of other people. And yet he's doing it to us. We're saying to Hashem, please have mercy on us. Don't turn your face away from us. Like, why is Hashem doing the very same thing that he's telling us we shouldn't do? And the answer is very simple. In the context of Hashavas Aveda, in the context of returning lost article, there is a halacha, which I didn't mention before, that even though we have an ongoing responsibility and obligation to return lost articles, where we know the owner, and we know the owner hasn't been miyash, hasn't despaired on getting it back. However, there is an exception. A very, very important person, a dignified person, a chacham, a tzaddik, a holy person, an older person, someone that if he has to now rummage in the dirt to get the article to return it to the owner, he's not obligated to do it to return it. So if a person's a great sage, let's say, a great sage walking down the street and he sees a pen and it's buried inside mud and the only way to get it, he's got to bend down and get his hands dirty to be able to retrieve the article to return it back to the owner, the sage would not be required to return it, because the Gemara says it's beneath his dignity, it's beneath his to be rummaging around. You don't want to see a sage rummaging around and do that. So he's exempt from the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. So he says Hashem is the sage, Hashem is the dignified being. And when we have allowed ourselves to become sullied in dirt, in mud, there are times when Hashem says, you know what, it's beneath my dignity that you should, so to speak, kavayachal. It's not really, it's like we are davening to Hashem that he shouldn't do this. But it's for our sake to realize if we've sullied ourselves and we've drifted away to such an extent and we've consumed things and done things and just mired ourselves in spiritual uncleanliness, then, you know, maybe we're like this lost article to the sage that he's not obligated. He's not really, he doesn't really want to kind of bend down and pick us up. So I daven to Hashem, don't be that way to me. And even though really, technically, you know, you could just ignore me because I'm so dirty, I'm so filthy, and I've kind of drifted away, and you're like the sage, it doesn't have an obligation to return me. Please, Hashem, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's what we're saying to Hashem. But it's a reminder of how we have to, realize the impact of our own behavior, that we could, God forbid, sully ourselves to a point that divide between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great that he is actually acting towards us in a way that where he's not obligated to return us. And therefore, I've got to wake myself up. Don't allow myself to go down to that level. Chusana v'al tisaleim, have mercy on it. Don't let me sink down to that kind of level. Lo tisaleim, that you should ignore me. I should pick myself and do teshuva. But the message of the whole pasuk on a spiritual level is Hashavas Aveda than the neshama. Returning the neshama, returning other people's neshama. So as I was thinking about this morning, yes, so suddenly applies to Kiruv Rechokim, to teaching, to Harbatzas Torah, to helping people, to bringing people back upon the path of Judaism. But it also applies to myself, because the first Chayecha Kodmin, our own lives take precedence over other people. That's a rule, right? We have to save our own life before saving other people's lives. So really, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of restoring the soul, of returning the soul to Hashem, starts f- first and foremost with ourselves, to realize my neshama inside of me, you know, gets lost. And the mitzvah Shavas Aveda is return the neshama, return our neshama. Make sure to always be thinking about returning my neshama. Don't ignore my neshama, to return it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To have mercy upon the neshama, to have pity upon the neshama. The neshama, we speak about it all the time. The neshama is, you know, it's a major, 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 major part of us. It's the potential essence of who we are. It's the potential essence of who we are if we choose to become the neshama, if we choose it. But that's the real self. Chusana, right? Have mercy upon the neshama and don't let it disappear. Let it not drift away. I was reminded of a beautiful paragraph in the Shari Tshuva. So it says, V'hine habore nafach ba'api nishmas chayim. Behold, the Almighty blew into me, into my nose, and nishmas chayim, a spirit of life, and neshama, chachmas lev, a wise heart, v'tova secho, goodness of intellect, lahakiro, to recognize him, liyira lemelefanov, to fear him, v'limshol beguf, v'kol toldosav, and to have power over the body, and of all of its derivatives. He says, being that for this reason, I was created to have the control and have the power over the physical drives within me. And there's now inside of me the opposite of this. Why do I have life? What has happened to me that I've been given this lofty neshama, this spirit of profound elevation, to have power and dominion and control over all of the forces, the baser physical, material forces within life. And I've done the opposite. Lama li chayim? Why do I have life? What's the point of it? What's the point of life? Ve'od morav ki b'mishpat, ki mishpat b'emlo, sees even like the behavior of an animal I haven't done. I haven't even acted like an animal. In straying away from my mission of the neshama, I've even not acted like an animal. I will shafalti memeno. I've gone lower than an animal. Ki yod ashur kaneyu v'chamor avas balut, because an ox knows its owner, and a donkey knows the trough of its owner. Animals do what they naturally do. They don't have any choice. They don't have any. They just do what they're supposed to do. So in doing what they're supposed to do, they're not violating what they're supposed to do. They're not violating what they're supposed to do. So they're just doing exactly what they're created to do. Now it's true, we have free will and we have a choice. But the reality is we're not doing, by violating that free will and drifting off and not responding to the drive of the neshama, the purpose of the neshama, I'm not doing what I've been created to do. And in a certain sense, I'm lower than an animal. I'm worse than an animal. But that's the point. This is the picture of a neshama which has become lost. And our mission is to restore that neshama, to bring the neshama back, and to bring it back to its owner, to do Hashavas Aveda. So, you know, practically, obviously, we're in a time right now, Elul, right? This is the time of restoring the neshama back to its rightful owner, bringing the neshama back, and thinking about how I can come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what it is. I'm here, my body's down here, and I'm here in the middle. My neshama, I said last week, the neshama is like hovering around us. But the neshama has drifted away. It's reality. It drifts away, gets stuck in stuff and behaviors and ways of life that it's far from its true calling, its true purpose. And my mission is restore the soul, give the soul, return the soul, God forbid, not sooner, back to the ultimate returning, but in our lifetime, we should restore the soul back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the soul back to Hashem, always on a daily basis, always thinking about the neshama, having chusa, having pity upon the neshama. So just thinking about it, I was thinking about this morning, you know, so practically, what do we do? Again, we go back to basics. We go back to the basics. Last week, we spoke about the two Sefer Torah that the king had, right? One Sefer Torah was the generic Sefer Torah which contains the halachos for everybody. The Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, I was learning this with someone this week, Derech Hashem, and he says that the battle between the body and the soul is a formidable battle. We know it's a challenging battle to be able to allow the neshama to have strength over the body. Very, very difficult. And he says it's basically impossible to achieve and to succeed in that battle. It's impossible to succeed without what he describes as sedarim and gevulos. Sedarim and gevulos. Sedarim are procedures, and gevulos are boundaries. Now, when you read that, what's he talking about? Procedures and boundaries. He goes on to say the procedures and boundaries, which are essential to allow the neshama to have strength over the body, are the positive commandments and the negative commandments. The siddharma, the procedures of the positive commandments, and the gevulos are the boundaries of the negative commandments. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of this whole system of Torah and mitzvahs, of mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lo asay, to facilitate the elevation and the restoration of the neshama back to its source. You know, the beginning, someone asked the beginning, what bracha do you make on oatmeal? You know, it's such a simple thing. What bracha do you make on oatmeal? You think about when you're making a bracha on oatmeal, you are restoring your neshama back to its source by doing that. A simple phrase, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Mine Mizonos. In that 2 seconds, you've restored the neshama back to its source. You've done Hashavas Aveda. That's just one bracha. And then then there's the raisins inside the oatmeal. Just as a technical point, you don't make a separate bracha because it's tafel. But even that alone, what I just said right now, even knowing that you do not make a bracha on the raisins because it's secondary and subservient to the oatmeal, and you only make a bracha on the oatmeal, that's restoring the neshama back to its source, because knowing that halacha and saying that halacha is Hashavas Aveda, the neshama, right? That halacha, learning Torah, knowing the halacha, making the brachas, and all the other mitzvahs, I mean, mitzvahs every single day, it's a mitzvah that fulfills our process, a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So it's an amazing mitzvah. Not that it needs an endorsement and an elevation over other mitzvahs, but it's remarkable if you think about what Hashavas Aveda is, restoring the neshama. You're restoring the neshama, your lost neshama, the Oved became like a wandering off, lost sheep. And every time you do something, a mitzvah, every time you learn a halacha, you're bringing back the lost sheep back to its source. And that's just doing the mitzvahs themselves. So you have mitzvahs, the halachas, which are generic for everyone. And then we said last week also, the king has a second Sefer Torah, which is the Sefer Torah, which speaks to you personally, meaning to say, find your own tafkid and find your own like unique mitzvah, not to the expense of other mitzvahs, but your unique focus in the world of mitzvahs. That's also part of the system bringing your neshama back, because your unique neshama needs a unique kind of blend, so to speak. And that needs a bit more kind of study and self-introspection, speaking to someone to find out what's my tafkid, etc. But it's all here. It's all within the Torah. It's all within the mitzvahs, is the program of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda. So, you know, fulfilling a mitzvah of returning a lost article, first and foremost, begins with ourselves. Always, every single day, as we wake up in the morning, throughout the day, think about, is my neshama, has it drifted away? Or is it close by? Has it drifted away? And if you see it's kind of floating away, it's kind of like going over there. Yeah, come back here. You want to bring it back to its to the shepherd. Bring it back to Hashem. And that is a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda.